Again, that tool Steady has some great things on the website. And as a community pharmacist, you can do this. You can have your cashiers do this. You can have technicians do this. This is a skill that you can incorporate into your workflow in a community pharmacy, is asking about calls.
Welcome to the Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show, where quality measurement leads to better patient outcomes. This show will be your go-to source for all things related to quality improvement and medication use in healthcare. We will hit on trending health topics as they relate to performance measurements and find common ground for payers and practitioners. We will discuss how the Equip platform can help you with your performance goals, and we will also make sure to keep you up to date on pharmacy quality news. Please note that the topics discussed are based on the information available at the date and time of recording. Information or guidelines are updated periodically, and we will always recommend that our listeners research and review any guidelines that are newly published. Buckle up and put your thinking cap on. The Quality Corner Show starts now.
Hello, Quality Corner Show listeners. Welcome to the PQS podcast, where we focus on medication use, quality improvement, and how we can utilize pharmacists to improve patient health outcomes. I'm your host, Nick Dorch, and on the episode today, we are returning to the topic of care for our senior patients. Specifically, the conversation will focus on fall risk for elderly patients. Fall risk has probably been mentioned in every episode related to senior care, but the show has not addressed the topic head on. That changes today, and I am pleased to bring a true pharmacy expert and leader for today's episode. Now, our guest is Dr. Stephanie Ferrari, and she is Professor and Chair, Division of Practice Advancement and Clinical Education at the University of North Carolina Eshelman School of Pharmacy. Stephanie, welcome to the Quality Corner Show.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I'm excited to be here to talk about this important topic.
Excellent. Well, before we discuss fall risk, Stephanie, let's hear about you. Can you give us a quick rundown on your background in pharmacy and healthcare, and then can you explain your current role?
Yeah, so first and foremost, I am a pharmacist. I started my career in community pharmacy. I have experience working in national chains, a regional chain, and independent pharmacy. I've also worked in two health systems, so I have a perspective of working in both inpatient and outpatient pharmacy, which helps me with my current role as a pharmacy researcher and academician. So as a pharmacist, you know, we're going to talk about this today. I saw firsthand how patients were confused about their medications. I received a ton of questions about when was the best time they should take their medicines, if they could be taken together, side effects related to medicines. And I know a lot of your listeners, this is resonating with you probably right now. And I spent a lot of time educating them, their patients, on their medicines to make sure they understood what they were for, what to expect from their medicines. And one thing your audience may know, but many patients do not know, is that it was my goal to try to minimize the number of medications my patients were taking. And many times patients get prescribed medicines, but they don't get evaluated to determine whether they need to keep taking their medications. So that's probably a good place to stop, and we'll get started on my research at this point.
Excellent. Well, Stephanie, thank you for the quick history lesson on where you've worked and your experience in pharmacy and healthcare more broadly. Certainly exciting. Now, we'll get into these topics in these particular conversations, but first, let's hear the breakdown.
Now it's time for the breakdown. As Quality Corner show host, Nick will ask three main topic questions. Our guests will have a chance to respond, and there will be some discussion to summarize the key points. This process will repeat for the second and third questions, which will wrap up the primary content for this recording. After that, expect to end on a closing summary, usually containing a bonus question. Now that we have described the process, let's jump into the questions.
All right, Stephanie, our starting point is going to be describing or defining the problem of fall risk. And I'm going to pause for a moment because I got to give a quick shout out to our producer for the podcast, David, who had recommended, as we were researching senior care, he'd been doing his research and found the, believe it's Steady RX. Is that the correct name for it, Stephanie? Stephanie's nodding her head yes as we record. So the Steady RX, it was a collaboration between the CDC and the University of North Carolina Eshelman School of Pharmacy, who is designed to improve collaboration between healthcare providers and pharmacists to help stop elderly accidents, deaths, and injuries. So what we want to talk about is just that. And again, focusing on fall risk and fall risk for geriatric patients. So this can be a known risk with severe complications for patients, and it can be exacerbated by medication use, especially through polypharmacy or use of particular high-risk medications. So Stephanie, let's start off, and can you describe what are the inherent risks and complications for elderly patients and describe how or why we need to reduce fall risk?
Yeah, so thank you for introducing the topic of STEADI. So for your listeners, if you Google it afterwards, it's STEADI, all capital letters. So if you Google that, you'll be able to find tons of resources sponsored by the CDC and some of the work that I've done related to fall risk and how community pharmacists can get engaged. So we'll get into that a little bit more, Nick. But to begin with your question of why are falls so important and why should pharmacies get involved in fall risk and education and prevention? Well, many adults older than 65 take medications, as we know as pharmacists, for sleep, anxiety, high blood pressure, chronic pain, and the side effects from these medications can change the worst way a person feels or thinks. And many side effects could be drowsiness, loss of balance, changes in vision, a slower reaction time, and other effects that increase risk of falling. And why falls are so important to know about is they're serious. I'm just going to throw some stats out there just to give you the reason why they're so serious. In 2018, there were about 3 million emergency department visits related to falls. There were close to 1 million hospitalizations related to falls and 32,000 deaths among older adults related to falls. And as we know, the older adult population is rapidly growing, which means more people will need this intervention to reduce fall risk. And so falls are really the leading cause of both intentional as well as unintentional injury for older adults in the United States. So this is it's an important health problem, an economic problem, and morbidity and mortality problem.
All right, Stephanie, at the risk of diving into our second question early, I'm going to ask a follow-up question here. You'd mentioned that many of these falls can be caused by drowsiness, loss of balance, slower reaction time, blurred vision. A lot of this can be related back to medications, again, that you referenced, medication used for treatment of sleep, anxiety, chronic pain, blood pressure, as just some examples, right? These are items where the causes may be really due to side effects of medications, right, that's being used or treated. So as we work with that older population, those being, and I want to be clear on this, older population, that's CDC definition of those over 65, not my personal definition. That is the clinical definition of this. But that's where the medication use or some of those side effects may be more profound. And as we get older, right, just how we metabolize the medication, that may become more of an issue. So is that really the key area where you see and where your studies have shown where pharmacists are playing a particularly key role, even though, hey, fall risk isn't necessarily part of the job description for a pharmacist, but reducing medications that can lead to falls, that sounds like a job for a pharmacist.
That is definitely where the intersection plays. And to your point, older adult definition is 65 and older. This doesn't mean that falls can't occur in patients who are 40, 50, younger than 65. It's just that as we get older, our bodies changes, pathophysiology changes, the way drugs are metabolized. They hang out in our systems longer. We know CNS active medications that cross the blood-brain barrier can cause dizziness, drowsiness, confusion. So those are all the medications we're really concerned about. So the classes I typically think about, are anticonvulsants, antidepressants, antihypertensives, and that's more related to the side effects. So that's more the drowsiness, dizziness, not necessarily the CNS brain barrier, but antipsychotics, antispasmodics, benzodiazepines, opioids, hypnotics. I already mentioned antidepressants, but tricyclic antidepressants. And then one that a lot of pharmacists don't always think about are over-the-counter medicines. So diphenhydramine, some of our medications, again, that just can cause drowsiness and have some side effects. And so those are the classes I typically think about. Also, if you're familiar with the Beers criteria, that's another list that pharmacists can typically use to see if these medications are on the list of Beers criteria. And that will help determine whether or not maybe we need to be focusing on deprescribing. And that's how I think about medication management when it comes to our 65 and older or older adult or Part D population. I think about, okay, what medicines are they taking that were started in their 40s and 50s? Do they still need them? Why are they still taking them? And so that's the intersection where a lot of my research is around deprescribing, which is the planned approach supervised by a pharmacist or a physician. Usually the pharmacist is supporting the physician in this because physicians don't always have time and where to support to help them with that. And helping, taking them when the doses are taking them off the medicines when they're not needed, stopping the medications altogether, or just backing off when the doses are too high. So I think that's an important thing that we can do no matter what setting we're in, but community pharmacists can definitely have a huge impact because we know the medications, whereas sometimes the physicians don't always know because there's many physicians and usually one pharmacy, not always one pharmacy, but usually one pharmacy.
Yeah. Stephanie, personal comment here. As someone that is currently suffering during allergy season, I can double down on the drowsiness effect from diphenhydramine. My wife would probably indicate a slower reaction time just to how quickly I'm getting up for my coffee in the morning as well. Now, as it relates to this, my second question, and I ventured that we might, my prior follow-up may have got us into our second question. We already covered this somewhat. The second question was meant to be, are there specific classes of medication or particular dosing regimens that may exacerbate these risks? I think we already kind of covered those elements, right? But I'm going to pivot us and kind of change our second question here just to keep us onto the topic. When it comes to working with these patients and identifying, you know, what is the right aspect of care. You'd mentioned a lot of this comes to deprescribing, which we've talked about with prior guests. From a pharmacy standpoint, where does that start? Or what are your best kind of tips for having that conversation with a patient? Because the patient's expectation, right, they may have been on a medication for 20 years. They may not want to go off that medication, but we have to get them to, or we don't have to get them. We want them to understand and have that be a personal conversation and personal discussion as to why this is useful. So what have you seen as being an effective communication plan in that regard to deprescribe to reduce that fall risk?
Yeah, so I think I got a little ahead of ourselves when we start talking about the medication classes, but that's where really our bread and butter is that we're the medication management experts. But when we're thinking about falls overall, again, that tool study has some great things on the website. And as a community pharmacist, you can do this. You can have your cashiers do this. You can have technicians do this. This is a skill that you can incorporate into your workflow in a community pharmacy is asking about falls. So those medication classes that we just listed, you can put a little bag tag or something in the chart. And when the patient comes in to pick up their medication, have one of your auxiliary staff ask, you know, there's three study questions. So the three study questions are, do you feel unsteady when standing or walking? So if they answer yes, that would warrant a medication review. If you ask the patient, do they worry about falling? If they answer yes, that warrants further conversation. The probably most important question you could ask is, have they fallen in the past year? And if the answer is yes, that warrants a question. So for any of you, I was just at my doctor yesterday at regular physical, and I'm not quite an older adult, but maybe I look like one, I don't know. But they did ask me the question, you know, have I fallen in the last 3 months? And I knew exactly why they're asking that question. It's a measure. It's a quality improvement measure that they get graded on. And if they don't have it documented, they don't get, you know, reimbursed at the rate that they want to be reimbursed. So this is something that primary care providers need to be asking. Based on my experience, not primary care providers don't always have time. So this is where community pharmacists could develop a collaborative relationship with them. And perhaps if they notice a medication that a patient might be on for high risk, they can ask the question and then do a screening. And so by having that screening question, then communicating with the provider's office, that's a great way to develop a relationship. So those questions can be found again on the STEADI website. But again, that's, you know, one of, and you don't have to ask all three. I think you can just ask one in a busy community pharmacy. And then that would help you to determine whether or not further patient education about fall prevention or medication adjustments could be warranted.
Thanks, Stephanie. Now, our third question here, I want to focus on that interaction with the patient, that interaction with the providers as well. A key part here, especially if we're thinking with our elderly patients, our older adults. Is there an aspect of this conversation that also goes to the patient's care team or care providers, right? You know, patient Betty, she may not just be coming in by herself with the pharmacy, right? Or she may have, you know, a child, may have a grandchild. So are there other parts, tips, recommendations are having these kind of conversations, having these types of questions with maybe not necessarily the patient themselves, but also the patient's family, caregivers, et cetera, that may be working with that patient?
I definitely think so. You want to engage not just the patients, but the caregivers. And so I like to think of it as three steps. The first step is to screen. So again, using those study questions to help screen will help the pharmacist identify who do I need to have a further conversation with. So that screening question can be done to either the patient, or it can be done to patient, family member, caregiver, anyone, really. That screening is just gathering information of who do I need to have a follow-up question with. Then the second step I like to think about is assess. And so that's where we want to assess about their gait and their strength. And so that might require a referral to primary care or a physical therapist. And so that also is another part of how do you engage the caregiver? The caregiver is probably going to help know that. You're going to assess for lightheadedness or dizziness. And a part of your assess is also the medication management review, looking at those classes of medication. And then the third step I like to think after screen and assess is coordinate care. So this is, again, where a family member, a caregiver, the patient themselves is going to be important, because we might need to coordinate the care with physical therapy. We might have to coordinate care if they have a pain contract and they're taking opioids or benzos that might be the primary culprit of the fall risk. The other thing I think I talk about with my students and with community pharmacists is what community resources are available. We know that exercise programs like Tai Chi has a wonderful evidence-based data that improves with gait and strength and with fall prevention programs. So do community pharmacists, are they aware of the resources in their community where they can coordinate care for fall prevention programs? That's something that I didn't really learn in school. And so when I was doing this research, I helped a lot of community pharmacists to link them with senior centers or Y's, YMCAs, or other community resources that could help with fall prevention. So that's another avenue, so between screen, assess, coordinate care, getting everyone involved in fall prevention.
Excellent. Well, Stephanie, I've got one other follow-up here, and this is just purely curiosity, right? You've done the SteadyRx program, you've done that with CDC. Do you have considerations or further research ideas as it goes to this topic? What are the next steps? Is it more about implementation in pharmacies? What's in your head? What's the research pathway for this look like going forward?
How long do you have, Nick? I could go on and on about this. There are so many questions that can come up from this. When this project first started, SteadyRx, really we were just figuring out how could community pharmacists help primary care physicians improve their quality measures. And we knew that one of the quality measures that physicians were struggling with were the fall metrics. And so we're like, community pharmacists can help with that. That's easy. And we did prove that community pharmacists can ask those screening questions. It was hands down easy thing for community pharmacists to do. We found in that first research study that we did, we found a lot of inappropriate medications. We found many older adults taking tricyclic antidepressants. We're like, what? We're shaking our head right now for those of you who are listening. Like, how are older adults still taking tricyclic antidepressants? And so that was a low-hanging fruit that community pharmacists coordinated care with the primary care provider and switched it to an SSRI or an SNRI. Yes, it was still an antidepressant, but it was a safer alternative still that was effective, but with less side effects. And so like 9 out of 10 times, physicians accepted that medication recommendation. So that was like an easy one for community pharmacists listening. Look at your patient profiles. Who's an older adult? Are they still taking a tricyclic? Oh my goodness, pick up the phone, send a fax, do something. And physicians were so appreciative. They're like, oh, no one had really thought about that. And they just hadn't thought about it. That's not something they're thinking about. They have so many other things going on at the acute care visit. So that was one thing that was sort of an aha, is just, yeah, they're looking for this. The other thing that was an aha from that first study was We had success with the tricyclics. We had a lot of stumbling blocks with opioids and benzos. And that's the current research I'm working on right now, is trying to have community pharmacists and ambulatory care pharmacists assist primary care providers with deprescribing of opioids and deprescribing of benzos. Because it's not like a tricyclic is easy. You can switch from one antidepressant to another one, relatively straightforward. As all your listeners know, opioids tapering regimen can take weeks, sometimes months, might take a year. Same thing with benzos, can take weeks, months, sometimes a year. And they really, physicians are asking for pharmacist guidance on what would that tapering regimen look like. And that's my current study that's going on right now. And preliminary results are demonstrating that physicians are really receptive to the pharmacist helping with deprescribing the opioids. And they're very appreciative of the tapering regimens. And, you know, they're stumbling blocks. Sometimes they move forward, sometimes they move back, sometimes they have to pause. But what we're identifying is benzos are extremely difficult to get patients to want to come off of. Again, our older adults who are 65 and older might have started these when they were 40. And they've been on these medications for 20, 30, 40 years. And they don't want their helper pill to go away. And so that's another area that we're discovering, that pharmacists can do a lot of patient education, help from why do they need the benzos. We can also help the physicians with talking points and maybe some deprescribing tapering recommendations. So that's two areas. And I'm going to add a third one, is really community pharmacy workflow. That's the last one that has been really exciting from my perspective. When I started practicing, these are the types of services I wanted to do in community pharmacy. I went into pharmacy school to ultimately help patients. And yes, I help patients by making sure that they get their medications and they take the right dose at the right time for the right person. But also part of that is making sure that you take them off medications. And so how do you build that collaborative relationship into pharmacy workflow with the providers in your area and focus beyond just the drug product and really focus on those enhanced services or those clinical services, which they're all clinical services when you're talking about medications. And so that has been another thing that we put on the study website with CDC. Some thoughts for those of you who are potentially want to do falls intervention in your community pharmacy, but have no idea where to begin to implement this service. You can download our implementation guide, and you can download the falls implementation guide, but really you could use this implementation guide with any sort of service that your community needs, whether it's a diabetes service, whether it's a whatever service that you and your patients need most in your area. That's what I'm most excited about moving forward.
I'm really glad I asked that question, Stephanie, and you hit on three key parts. And one, implementation, that's obviously a huge thing. We certainly know that for the folks that are in community pharmacy, there's a lot of things that can make that practice difficult here and now, but there's a lot of opportunities where pharmacists can also do more. So there are certainly changes that we need, and we need folks like yourself that are working in that area to show that, yes, these items can be done. There can be changes to pharmacy, particularly community pharmacy practice, so that pharmacy can be more than what has been the traditional medication dispensing. We're never going to be fully removed from dispensing, right? That's a key part of what makes us pharmacists, but we can also do other things. Loved your comments as well, focusing on opioids, benzodiazepines. A little bit of spoiler alert, we've already got that topic for upcoming podcasts. And actually, just in this next week or so, we're going to be recording a couple episodes about that topic. So if you're interested in that for our audience, or Stephanie, for you, be sure to check out those episodes when they come out in a few weeks or months. I forget what our schedule is. The last part, and this was the first comment, so I'm going backwards in time from your remarks. This started with, as you had said, identifying how to work with primary care, identifying how to work with physicians and quality measures, areas where they needed help. I love to see and hear when we've got folks in pharmacy that are being proactive, working with prescribers, working with health plans to show value for pharmacists. So I really applaud you and the team for those efforts that are there, and certainly shows a great example for where pharmacy can get more involvement. Now, I will wrap us up. We're going to get to our end here, Stephanie. As it goes to SteadyRx, just want to hit a couple of key points in summary for everybody. So when it does come to reducing fall risk and what pharmacists can do, really in any setting, but particularly for community pharmacy practice, key points from the SteadyRx program: It's one, screening patients for fall risk at the pharmacy. It's two, performing a medication review. Three, sharing information with the patient and or their care team and or providers. And then four, having the patient and provider respond to that shared information so you can really have a clear action plan for the patient. So those are the steps. Obviously, it gets a lot more detailed from there, but that's really what we hope that you as our listening audience have as the takeaway for how you can look to implement some of these programs and specifics into your practice and further improve care for your patients. But with that, Stephanie, we now reach the part of the show where we look to finish with a different type of question or questions for our guest. So Stephanie, three parts to this question. One, how do you track your personal or professional goals? Two, can you share a goal you're currently working on? And three, is there a goal you haven't yet started this year, but that you would like to?
Nick, this is the most stressful part of the show for me. I can talk about my research a lot, but this part stresses me out. So I'm going to keep it probably at the professional level of the goal setting, just because I am optimistic about the future of community pharmacy and really where we can be going as a profession. I know that the last 2.5 years have been very stressful, but we've also highlighted some awesome things that we as community pharmacists can do the last 2.5 years. So I'm optimistic that we are moving in the right direction. So when thinking about my professional goals, I've always had a passion. I started this show telling you that I have a mixture of inpatient and outpatient practice experience. But my passion is always aligned with outpatient pharmacy and making sure that patients are taken care of and that we're really influencing practice on an outpatient basis. And so my professional goals, I guess this is a plus or negative about being in academia, is I have to do an annual review every single year, and I have to write down goals related to my job every single year. And it keeps me honest of what does my passion align with what I'm doing. And so on a yearly basis, I think about how can I help community pharmacy? How can I help community pharmacy practice? How can I advance the profession? And many of the things we talked today about falls related research and quality measures is the intersection of where my passion is. And I want community pharmacists to be able to develop collaborative practices, to be able to do what they went to pharmacy school, help patients with patient outcomes, help physicians optimize patient outcomes. And when I first started, you know, because we were not co-located, you know, community pharmacists starts in a separate location than perhaps an ambulatory care or an inpatient pharmacist, we had a lot of barriers. I've seen some of those barriers come down now. There are billing mechanisms. We have chronic care management codes that if you have a collaborative practice set up, that we can bill for the things that we're able to do. We have new legislation. States are populating everywhere. I know your listeners are all over the country, but there are so many new opportunities with naloxone, hormonal contraception, so many different things, diabetes management services, so many different things that community pharmacists can get engaged with as long as they talk with their patients and talk with the providers in the community. And so I really love, and a lot of the work I'm doing with the Community Pharmacy Enhanced Services Network on a national level is trying to help with workflow integration. Your point was that we're never going to separate product. I agree with that. We're never going to separate product. However, how can we enhance the product? And while we're dispensing the product, make sure that our patient outcomes are optimized. Other areas that I focus on that excites me about community pharmacist is medication synchronization. Love to talk to you about that later if you want to invite me back. But I think that that is really essential to workflow integration, and it's natural to medication reviews. So when I was working on this falls project, a lot of pharmacists were like, how am I going to do a medication review and screen for falls and assess for falls? I don't have it figured out on my workflow. And so we coached those pharmacies with implementation of doing medication synchronization so that they could free up their time to do medication reviews. And so that to me is going to be essential to the future of community pharmacy and billing for services and getting reimbursed and compensated and just doing what we went to school for. So those are the things that get me excited in my role and really helping not just North Carolina, but helping nationally on the community pharmacy front to change the way that community pharmacy is portrayed
Excellent. Well, yeah, Stephanie, it certainly is in some ways a change or a shift, right, for pharmacy practice. And I know this from speaking with many pharmacists. There's parts there where not every pharmacist necessarily learned MedSync or some of the clinical interactions that are there for more of the enhanced service parts of it. But that is certainly where patients, one, especially as you said, after the last couple of years, patients are expecting or looking for more from their community pharmacy. And we're certainly going to have those opportunities for pharmacists that want to be more hands-on with that patient approach. We're never going to get away from the dispensing medication aspect of it, because if the pharmacist is doing it, who's doing it? Literally, that's part of the job for the pharmacist, right? Or is the job scene for the pharmacist? But we want to do more than that, and we're excited to do that. All right. Well, Stephanie, before we close today, I'm sure there's going to be folks that want to hear from you, want to hear about SteadyRx, want to hear about your future or ongoing research on opioids, benzodiazepines, or other information. So if folks want to reach out to you, where can they contact you? And then in addition, any other shout outs, references you want to make here before we close?
Yeah, I'm happy to have any listeners reach out to me. I get my research ideas from community pharmacists who are frustrated, who want change to be seen, and they feel like their hands are tied. So please, I get my best research ideas from all of you. Reach out to me. You can probably Google me. I'll come pretty quick. My last name is spelled F like in Frank, E-R-R-E-R-I. That's my last name, Stephanie Ferrari. And Stephanie is, my parents blessed me with a weird spelling, S-T-E-F-A-N-I-E. And so just Google me at UNC. It's Stephanie_Ferrari@unc.edu. That's how you can reach out to me. And if you have more, want to look more about the Falls implementation guide, you can either Google pharmacy in Falls and CDC. That's one quick way to do it if you can't remember how to spell steady, or you do cdc.gov/steadi. So Nick, happy to have any of your listeners reach out to me with any questions on today's podcast.
Excellent. Well, Stephanie, final thoughts from my side here. Appreciate you coming on the show. This is a great topic. And I'm glad that David, our producer, went through and had suggested this. And he had asked, hey, do you know Stephanie? And full disclosure, Stephanie and I have known each other for a number of years. I'm not going to say how many for both of our protection. But absolutely was a wonder. Stephanie, you were a wonderful guest to have on the show. And you had mentioned MedSync and some of the other things there as far as future topics. We may bring you, or I don't know what the right word is here. Maybe you've got a large number of collaborators in the community pharmacy space that we may look to bring in as well for future episodes. So I really appreciate you being on the show. Really appreciate you being an advocate for community pharmacy. That's the part that's, and most importantly, being an advocate for patients. That's the most important aspect of it. But with that, for our listeners, we have now wrapped up the content for today's episode. And on behalf of the PQS team, we want to thank you for joining us. And we hope you listen to our next episode of the Quality Corner Show. Thanks for listening. We'll be back. But until then, we have one final message from the PQS team.
The Pharmacy Quality Solutions Quality Corner Show has a request for you. Our goal is to spread the word about how quality measurement can help improve health outcomes, and we need your help in sharing this podcast to friends and colleagues in the healthcare industry. We also want you to provide feedback, ask us questions, and suggest health topics you'd like to see covered. If you are a health expert and you want to contribute to the show or even talk on the show, please contact us. You can email info@pharmacyquality.com. Let us know what is on your mind, what we can address, so that you are fully informed. We want you to be able to provide the best care for your patients and members, and we wish all of you listeners out there well.